Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 34 through 35. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading today is perhaps one of the most familiar readings in our scriptures, if not the most familiar reading from the writings of Paul. And this is the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We hear this passage read at different occasions, many times at weddings, sometimes at funerals. But today we hear it within the context of our worship service and the day. So let us listen to these words as if you are hearing them for the first time, and listen for God's voice in your life. If I speak with the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Just in case you've forgotten, today is Transfiguration Sunday. I knew that was at the top of everybody's list. Transfiguration Sunday, it's the Sunday where we end the season of Epiphany and we begin the season of Lent. It's that bridge Sunday between those two seasons. And the biblical story is one that we usually read on this day about Jesus going up to the mountain and being seen with Moses and Elijah and glowing. Well, we didn't read that scripture this morning, but it is Transfiguration Sunday. It's also another special day, and we heard that from Jeff Davis this morning. Today is Valentine's Day. So I thought, how often do we have a day like Valentine's Day on Sunday? A day when we celebrate love, the central message of our faith, and they all come together. Transfiguration Sunday and Valentine's Day. It's also another day, a day in our collective lives, in our communities across our country and in the world. It's a day that Thomas Paine described once as, "These are the times that try our souls." You may have heard this passage this past week. It was read on the floor of the United States Senate as they held an impeachment trial of our former president. "These are the times that try our souls." They really are trying times. Times of pandemic, times of separation, times of economic strife, times of political division, political violence. Times when we struggle to understand one another, times when we struggle to hold one another accountable for our actions. We just experienced an entire week of national soul-trying time as we seek to hold people accountable for actions of violence, for actions of insurrection. You know, this week I was reminded of something that happened earlier in the year. I was reminded of my serving as a commissioner to our General Assembly. And our General Assembly this year was very truncated. We had to do a whole lot of broad business on a big Zoom meeting. We had to refer the lion's share of all of the things brought to the General Assembly to the next General Assembly. But there was a struggle to make some statements about things that were going on and continue to go on in our country. And one of the overtures before our General Assembly was an overture of accountability. It was holding us as a church accountable for the plight of women and children in our world. And we had passionate presenters present this position to our denomination. It wasn't something to be approved. It was something to say, this is something we recognize. We see this and we pledge to do our best to begin to do something about it. And as it turned out, in order to make a statement like this in this assembly meeting, you had to have, and this will sound familiar, you had to have a 2/3 majority to do it. So as I said, there were passionate speeches. And it came down, this was the wee hours of the very last day of the General Assembly. We were desperately trying to make this statement. but we needed 2/3 majority. And it finally came down to the vote. And that 2/3 majority was missed by a handful of votes. Our denomination failed to hold ourselves accountable for the plight of women and children in our world by a handful of votes. Now, mind you, the majority of the vote, an overwhelming majority of the vote, was in favor of this, but we failed to garner 2/3. Sometimes in our lives, we have these trying times of the soul because we're so close, but we just don't make it. I think there are a lot of people in our country and community feeling like that today. Thomas Paine went on to say in this same document, where he said, these are times that try our souls. He said, what we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Dearness, it could be said, is just another word for love here. It is love that gives everything its value, its meaning. And I'm not talking about sentimental or romantic love. I'm not talking about roses and candy and cards, even though this is very nice and it's very appropriate in our world. I'm talking about the love that Jesus calls us to when he says in the Gospel of John, I give you a new commandment to love one another as I loved you. And people will know you by this love. But what is this love? I want you to imagine a person. Imagine a person, may even be a super person, if you will. This person is the most knowledgeable, intelligent, eloquent speaker you have ever heard. This person is the most generous person you've ever known. Never holds anything back, but gives everything to others, even their own life if necessary. Imagine a person like this. And who would you imagine? Who could this person be? Now, I would even go so far that this person may even be a person we imagine ourselves to be at times in fleeting moments, or at least the person we strive to be. More often than not, when we think of a person like this, we will think of someone we admire, someone we revere, someone we follow, maybe even someone we worship. When we imagine this person, who is a person that comes into mind? Is it an historical figure? Is it someone who lives today that holds this kind of attention in our lives? Who is this person? Well, the passage from Corinthians that we read describes this person. And Paul says, this person, this super person, is nothing. He is unequivocal about this. Nothing. without love? Who is this person in our lives? I couldn't help but think of an old story that many of you have heard. I've told it too many times. But it's the story of the pastor giving the children's sermon, as we used to do on these steps with the children on Sunday mornings. And the pastor says, I want to describe something to you. I want to describe something that has a big bushy tail, has very sharp teeth, collects nuts during the fall and buries them for the winter so that they can have them in the spring, and jumps from tree to tree. Can anybody tell me what I'm describing? And one of the little children raised their hand and says, I know. He says, who is this? And the little child says, well, it sure sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer is Jesus. You see, Paul is describing Jesus. How many of us have ever read this passage and thought of it as a description of Jesus? Someone with all the knowledge, someone with all the faith, someone with all the hope, someone with total, complete generosity, even to the point of giving his life for people. Paul is describing Jesus. Jesus calls us to love while literally being the love that he calls us to live. It gets us right to the point that we so often make here in our congregation, that we strive not so much to believe in Jesus, but to follow Jesus. That's why we are a values-based congregation instead of a belief-based congregation. Yes, we have belief, but our values, how we live, how we follow Jesus, is what really matters. And if we follow Jesus, we follow in love. The love that Paul describes. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Listen to these descriptions of love and think about so many things in our world today. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. The truth. It bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And Paul immediately tells us, but, you know, you're really not going to get this. That sounds a little like Jesus too. Jesus had that has that famous saying that recurs time and again, let those who have ears hear. Paul says, you know, you're really not going to see this, because you're it's like we're seeing through this glass darkly. We're looking into a mirror that is old and faded, and we can't really see clearly. We're like little children. We're like little children that have a childlike understanding of the world, But as we grow, we understand more and more and more, but we never really have the full picture. Years ago, I won't tell you how many, when Peg and I were first beginning our life together, we started out on our first great adventure. We were moving from Georgia to Oklahoma. My family, by the way, thought we were moving to the other side of the world. And I think they even imagined us turning in our car at the Mississippi River and getting a covered wagon. That's how foreign this move was for us, for me at least. Peg had lived in numerous places growing up in a military family. But as we were driving along, we were toward the last leg of our journey, and we were driving across northern Texas. If you've been in northern Texas between Fort Worth and Wichita Falls, you know what I'm talking about. You enter into this area of high plains, a plateau. You gain elevation, and you have several opportunities to look back and see how high you've actually come when it doesn't seem like you've risen at all. But we're on this big plateau, and we just happened to look out upon the landscape, and what we saw was something that I, growing up in a small southern town, had never seen in my life. It was a complete train crossing the landscape. I could see the entire train from engine to caboose, and it wasn't a short train either. The only trains I had ever seen in my life were trains that zip by you at the crossing, one car at a time. And there we were looking at this complete train. That moment for both Peg and I has become a metaphor for our lives. There are times when we can look and see the whole train. But more often than not, we're just catching the cars as they clip by. But the older we get, the more understanding we have of what real love is, we can see the whole train. And this is what Paul is telling us. We can only see partially. Faith is partial knowledge, because a big part of faith is accepting things we don't know. Once we know it, it doesn't take any faith. Faith is partial knowledge. Hope is partial truth. Once we know the truth, we know the truth. Hope is hoping for the truth. It's partial truth. But love, Paul tells us, is complete. It's complete knowledge. It's complete truth that holds everything together, because it bears all things. It believes all things. Love is what holds things together. And this is the kind of love that we as Christians celebrate. This is the love that we are called to. This is the love of Jesus, that Jesus tells us is in every one of us. Love. So I would like to suggest in closing that it is quite appropriate that we have the convergence today of times that try our souls, of Transfiguration Sunday and Valentine's Day. Because this conversion reminds us that love transfigures. Love transforms. And love transcends all things. Amen. A moment ago, I asked you to imagine a person as we leave, and as our charge this morning, I ask you to imagine a world. I ask you to imagine a world that is filled with patience and kindness. A world that does not have envy or boastfulness or arrogance or rudeness. A world that does not insist on its own way. Imagine a world where people are not irritable or resentful. Imagine a world where we do not rejoice in the wrongdoing of the world, but what we rejoice in is truth. Imagine a world like this. This is a world that is filled with love. And I would suggest to us this morning that this world is filled with love. But we are looking at it through a very dim and dark mirror. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is what holds us together. If we can only see it. If we can only live it. Amen.